Hello, and welcome back to week 13 of our emails and discussions around the unique callings God has given to men and women in his world. My name is Pastor Ben Kratz, and I serve as one of the pastoral advisors for the Wells Women's Ministry Committee. As they have the past weeks, there is a group of great women who are here to discuss this week's email. Maybe this week, as you introduce yourself, share a favorite part or aspect or activity of summer that you enjoy or that you've already done this summer.
My name is Dawn Schultz, and at the time of this recording, I am looking forward to traveling to Colorado for 2 weeks, during which I'm finally going to spend time with some family, some friends from Canada that I haven't seen in years, and experience the joy of the first wedding in our family. My oldest son is getting married, and we are so thankful he's found someone who loves Jesus and loves him, and we couldn't ask for any more.
I'm Christy Meyer, and my favorite part or aspect of summer is something I just finished up. I just got back from a week of camping up north in Wisconsin, did a lot of hiking, played a lot of cribbage, and just relaxed and unplugged, and it was enjoyable. So camping especially is one of my favorite parts or activities of summer.
And I too am heading out for vacation soon to spend time with our family. Just everyone comes together. We go to a cabin up northern Wisconsin. We fish a lot. We eat a lot. We just really enjoy each other's company. So yes, it's that, I think it's the family time, just being together. So it's great.
Well, thank you. Today we are looking at and discussing the first email that was sent this week, which takes a closer look at the principle or some aspect of it a bit closer. Later this week, we'll have the opportunity to talk through some of the more practical aspects with this week's second email. This first email this week started with the fact that God has chosen us. I guess, how does knowing that God chose you now shape your perspective, and maybe especially when it comes to your unique calling of helper?
I think you can't have the chosen or the special part of any part of this without realizing that that comes with a relationship, or without realizing that that comes with a relationship. And the relationship of blessing that we have with God is what makes this so special. And it's not like it was a relationship that was distant and aloof and hostile, just because it was kind of like the way I would feel about a cockroach or something that was absolutely disgusting. But rather, this relationship was built on something that was perfect. And Eve walked with God in the garden, and then we screwed it up. And God still said, in his love, he was going to send his son and make the relationship whole again, so that we could enjoy that. And so it's that relationship, that trust that God has given me, the faith to trust that this is all for my good, that allows me then to take a look at what we've been talking about the last 13 weeks. And so when I see that this relationship of God's unconditional, ever faithful, loving gift of his son, that is the basis of the relationship that we have, I can't help but want to live in a way that he designed and that honors him. And I can do that best by being the helper he created me to be.
Dawn, what I love about what you just said is that this relationship that exists initially was entirely due to God acting. It was initially a unilateral relationship. It was not bilateral. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that I did in order to make God choose me. In fact, as a sinful creature, everything I'm doing is something that would make him not choose me. But in his grace and mercy, he chose me anyway. That is entirely due to him. It's not due to me at all. He is the initiator of this relationship. And then I get to respond. And I don't respond because I have to respond in order to remain in this relationship, or I have to do something. No, God's done all of it for me already. But I get to respond. And I get to live out this relationship as a sanctified child of God in that love, and I get to live out my unique calling because he chose me. It's a get to, it's not a have to. And that is absolutely beautiful, I think, because it is all due to God. I can't screw up the beginning part of it, and then I get to live out the rest of it as well.
Those are great points. So I'll pick it up just what happens next in terms of you both really made it so clear about how that relationship begins. But one of the things that struck me is that knowing that God has chosen me and how does that change my perspective? It's that now I'm on, now I belong to him. And so when Paula used the example of like being chosen for a team, I just remembered a lot of childhood playground memories of kickball and dodgeball and whatever we used to play. And that team picture was very strong. But if we really make that the example from God's perspective, yes, he chose us. He put us on his team. And I can just imagine, you know, that now I have the robe of Christ. That's my team jersey. I belong to Jesus. And that's why I'm on the team. But I also see that the team functions for one purpose, but the members of the team do different things. It makes sense to me to see how God in his orderliness has said, there's some things I want you to do. I've designed you. I've put you on this team. I think of Ephesians, my good works have been planned in advance. And that idea that our designing orderly God has a purpose for me and a plan for me, and he chose me to do it. It really makes me want to just say, show me, Lord, show me what you want me to do. I don't need to come and create my own ideas and perspective. I'm very, very anxious to hear what he has to say.
And to continue on that, as we've said the whole time through, there's sin in this world and it's going to be ugly. And knowing the fact that when I sin or I've been sinned against, when this doesn't work out right, it doesn't work as it's supposed to be, I can go to my Heavenly Father, ask for forgiveness. I can ask for patience or to remove my bitter spirit or angry heart, or change what needs to be changed that only he can change to make a situation right again. As his chosen precious child, I have the ability to walk forward in this unique calling, knowing that that will never leave me. That is always what he is giving me by making me his child.
Having the ability to walk forward in that unique calling, having the privilege to walk forward in that unique calling. We don't always see it as a privilege, but it really truly is. It's something that God has given us. It's a gift that he has given us. And therefore we have that ability and privilege to walk forward in our unique calling.
Which is where I think some of that language that Peter uses in his letter really highlights just the fact how God has chosen us and how special that is, because he uses a number of different phrases like royal priesthood, a holy nation, you know, God's special possession. Everyone pick one of those. I know you've already picked one of those. So talk about the one that you have picked. And just what it means to you personally.
Well, I'm going to start with the royal priesthood. The priests were the ones who were set apart for a life of service, a life for something greater than themselves. And for me, that means that as God's royal priesthood, I'm set apart for something bigger than myself, for a life of service to him and to others. Priests are also the ones who entered into the temple on behalf of others. And they were the ones who kept God in front of the people and the people in front of God. And so through my prayers to God for, if we're going to talk about what this devotion specifically, the series has been talking about, if I am going to God in prayer, I'm going to be mindful of praying for my fellow brothers and sisters who are working through this and all of the ways that we work together and partner together in our homes, in our church life, out in the world. And I'm going to pray for them and bring them before God. And then also the priests were the ones who taught what God's word said. And so through my life, through my example of how I live, through my speech to my children and others around me, and wherever that is, I have an opportunity to show what God says and why that is important to me, and do that through the way that I live my life and use the words that I use and treat others the way he has asked me to treat them.
I thought about the holy nation piece. You know, I kind of want to start with the nation part of it. There are a few places in the New Testament where there are some glimpses of citizenship, you know, where scripture talks about that very briefly. And in Bible study, some of the women that I have taught, we've had some fantastic discussions about citizenship and studied that just a little bit, that, you know, there is a sense of belonging. There is a sense of privilege. There's a sense of this is a a group of people that are together and this similar thinking, I shouldn't say similar thinking in the sense like we all just absolutely think the same thing, but we have the same goals. We're striving for the same things. There's the organization and the leadership. There's a lot of ways that you can think about what it's like to be a nation and how that fits the body of Christ. But I think then you have to back up. Once you have that picture, then it's so beautiful to back up and see holy, that we're a holy nation. We're a nation that is set apart for a purpose. And so when God sets us apart and says, you have a specific purpose, you have a use that's I have determined, then I think, oh, and what is that, God? And God says, you're to be my witnesses in this world. Now I not only understand that I belong to other people and that I belong to this body of Christ, but I understand that as a holy nation, when we stand as a witness. And I like to think that it is the glorious good part of it, that we're giving a wonderful testimony. And I think, oh yes, everyone should be drawn to our light and our love. But sometimes too, we are a witness and a testimony to things that are wrong, because we stand together and say, this is what God's word says. We are standing on God's word. And that too is part of our witness, to say what God says, but in love, knowing that I am part of that holy nation.
And I will talk about God's special possession. I absolutely love this particular language. The language in NIV 84 was a people belonging to God, which is also a good translation, but I really love God's special possession. The image that brings to mind for me is when I was a kid, and others obviously have this too, I had a blanket, right, that I carried around everywhere. And I loved this blanket. Like, if it went in the dryer, it was traumatic. If it went away, it was traumatic. If it fell under my bed when I was napping, this was traumatic. This was my blanket. It was the one that belonged to me, and I needed it to be there. That's what we are to God. We are his special possession. We know that in Genesis, we are the crown of his creation. We are the crowning jewel of everything that he has made. And he loves us dearly. We are special to him. We are dearly loved children. And that is just such a cool image of our Father God having this special people that he views as dearly loved, as we imperfectly love that blanket. So that is just really cool to me, that I, as a sinful human being, am still not only God's possession, but his special possession to him. That's really neat.
One other point this devotion brought out was just how at times we're going to struggle with wrestling what this principle means for our lives, both as head and helper, and how we carry that out. And even if we understand the principle well, the application of that can be so difficult in different situations. Why is taking words and actions of others in the kindest possible way then so important when it comes to the subject of our unique callings?
That's a great question, Ben. I think that it is so important for us to put love over all of the things that God teaches us, that we understand his commands are given, his design is revealed, all of that, so that we can know God better, so that we can show our love to him. So these are good blessings that we have. They're not given to us so that we can throw darts at each other or nitpick at each other or be frustrated with one another. Again, we just had this conversation about being one, being a special possession, holy nation. And so if our goal together then is to seek God's will and live God's will, that means that we have to look at what other people do and remember that we may not know everything. We may not understand the motives or the situation. And we just need that mercy shown to one another and that blessing of love.
It's so true, Naomi. And you're probably very saying it very kindly. As I was pondering this question in my mind, I just kept thinking that we have to take words and actions in the kindest possible way, because we will never be able to understand how a man thinks, ever. I mean, I am married to a great man. I have two, adult male children, and there are just some things that they do sometimes where I'm like, what are you doing? What are you thinking? And I'm saying that in good fun and love. And yet, let's be honest, sometimes that some can be a friction point and a rub point. But that's a good thing. God designed that for a reason. We're different for a reason. We bring different things to our children. We bring different things to the church. We have different relationships that accomplish different things. But if I think that everybody has to think the way a woman thinks or the way I think, I'm going to get in trouble. And because they will never do or act in the way that I think they should, I have to assume that actions come from a heart that is loving in the same way that I am loving, because God loves us both. And so when that's the basis and that's the foundation, then we can work through whatever it is. But I need to start by taking words and actions in the kindest possible way.
Just so you know, Dawn, that goes both ways. I've got four daughters and a wife, and there are times where I have the exact same thing. I don't understand how women think. So that's on both sides. And that's a good point.
To play off of that and to continue the discussion of what we can't know how someone else thinks. We also don't always know what the situation is that someone else is in. We don't know all the nuances of the situation of someone in our local congregation, of a congregation down the road. We might be able to see some of those, but there's almost certainly other things that are going on below the surface that we simply don't know about. And maybe we should, and maybe we shouldn't. There's some things that are private and there's some things that can be more public, but without knowing, having a full picture, it is super easy to come to a judgment that may or may not be correct about how someone else or a local congregation is implementing unique callings of men and women. And once again, because we don't always know all those circumstances, that's one of the reasons that it's so important to take words and actions in the kindest possible way. Like you said, Dawn, we have to assume that everyone in the body of Christ is coming at this the best way that they possibly can. And we can't always see everything that plays into how they are coming at this. You talked about not being able to see how they think, can't see their circumstances as well, not all of them. So that's another huge reason why it's so important, because we don't see everything.
I think another thing to keep in mind too is out there in the world around us, there's going to be a lot of hostility towards or misunderstanding for those times where this doctrine and principle is honored in our lives out in the world, and people aren't going to understand. And I think taking words and actions in the kindest possible way and recognizing a heart of faith that isn't there, isn't going to recognize this as God honoring. And so we can't expect that to be there. And I think that helps walk into a world that is hostile, knowing that they are not going to love and honor God's word in the same way that I do. But I can take that in the kindest possible way and pray for them and recognize that just because it's not easy or I don't have the words doesn't mean that it's wrong. And so I'm going to pray for God to give guidance as to be a light and how I can shine this in the world around me as well.
And two, taking words and actions in the kindest possible way in the world, I love the point that you just made indirectly. Maybe those words and actions aren't meant in the kindest possible way, but we can still take them in the kindest possible way. We can still take them that way. We don't have to let the way that they were meant shape the way that we react to them.
Thank you.
Christy, can you give us a sneak peek as to where our second devotion this week is going to take us?
The second one, the last one of this series this week, is going to just kind of try to sum everything up. And that's an impossible task, but we'll do the best that we can. How especially does this look? We've talked about a lot, living out our unique callings. What does this look like? What are some considerations that we should think about when we look at living out our unique calling? So that's where we'll try to go to finish everything up, wrap it up neatly the second half of this week.
All right. If you have any questions about things that we've discussed or a question that we haven't addressed, ask us. Send your questions to us at womensministry@wells.net. And we will do our best to answer them all, including in a special Q&A episode where we'll talk through some of those questions. Thanks again for joining us for our discussion today. We invite you to come back for our conversation about the second email later this week. See you then.